This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge. The show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and your number, 877-217-5757. That's 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Later in the hour, we'll hear from Gene Mills, who heads the Louisiana Family Forum. We start with Nora Ahmed, the legal director for the ACLU of Louisiana. She is based in the great city of New Orleans, and she is here to talk about what's happening 32 days from Election Day, November 5th. The election is 1 month from tomorrow. So we are literally in the home stretch between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, and choice, abortion, has been a major issue in this campaign. It's always a major issue, but this one more so because of the Dobbs decision since the last election, and Donald Trump had a lot to do with what happened with the U.S. Supreme Court's composition, appointing three justices, Amy Coney Barrett, who hails from the New Orleans area, and Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch, all of whom voted to overturn Roe versus Wade. And we'll talk about Donald Trump's shifting positions on that issue as well. But the reality is that in the South, there are few, if any, places where a woman can receive an abortion for any reason. It's basically a case in which abortion is outlawed in Louisiana and all neighboring states. And Nora Ahmed has talked about the landscape. And Nora, how significant is this issue as we move to the election 1 month and 1 day away?
Thanks so much for having me, Jim. This is turning out to be a very significant issue for voters. And we can understand why when we look at the landscape, and we can also understand why when we see how many constitutional amendments are on the ballots in at least 10 states come November 5th. So this is a key issue, both at the national level, but also at the state level.
877-217-5757 is your number. And Nora Ahmed will take some calls, as will Gene Mills. And we do implore you to be kind to our guests who have differing points of view. And I suspect our callers have differing points of view as well. But no matter which side you may be on, and on this one there are many more than two sides, please be respectful of our guests. Jim on I-12, first up, please be brief. Mr. Jim, you're on with Nora Ahmed. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, last night, Melania Trump released a video in conjunction with her new book where she is absolutely 100% pro-choice. The real question is she actually voting for her husband? I kind of suspect not.
All right, well, I suspect she will vote for her husband, but all first ladies, to my knowledge, since Roe v. Wade, have been pro-choice. And Nora, there is a huge gender gap in this election, and I would imagine much of it is related to the abortion issue. But if only women voted, Harris would win in a landslide, and if only men voted, Trump would win in a landslide. How do you explain this, Nora?
Well, I think when you're talking about various issues, abortion is one of them, and that's just an issue that people who get pregnant and give birth and people who have to really decide whether or not an abortion makes sense with their doctor, that is an issue that predominantly affects women. And so when they look at lawmakers, many of whom are men, who are making decisions about their bodies and what is appropriate or not appropriate and what exceptions should or should not apply, they're invading the privacy that women should have with their doctors. We don't do it in so many different circumstances. We don't get involved in what people decide about knee surgery, whether they want to amputate or whether they want to have different surgical procedures. The fact that we get so involved in abortion just does not make sense based on the foundational principles of this country. There is a right to privacy, and women have the right to make this decision with their doctors. And that's just something they fundamentally understand, that people who do not get pregnant do not understand that, and therefore make very unfortunate decisions about what choice actually means for people to actually be in control of their bodies.
In his debate with Vice President Harris, former President Trump said everybody, and that's a quote, everybody wanted Roe v. Wade to be overturned. I think he might be off track, Nora.
He's very much off track, but we also, as you alluded to earlier, we think about abortion in a very black or white scenario, as though it is not a complicated issue, as though it is not an issue of freedom, and as though it's not a medical issue that deals with medical care. We are just painting broad brushstrokes that make it seem as though there is abortion or there isn't abortion. And we ignore what women face. We ignore hemorrhaging. We ignore miscarriages. We ignore what medication means for so many women and what it actually means to have appropriate maternal health care. We're just not talking about the issue in a way that we need to, but that's largely because it's a medical issue that women need to engage in. People who get pregnant need to engage in with their doctors. It is not a place for lawmakers to be getting involved and restricting what actually makes sense for women and people who get pregnant to do with their bodies. That's just not a place for the laws to be focused on in this country.
877-217-5757. We're hearing the voice of Nora Ahmed, legal director for the ACLU of Louisiana. Marcy on the LSU campus. Marcy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I am a little bit of a younger voter. It's my first time voting in a presidential election. I'm 19. I'm very pro-choice, but I just wanted to ask, why are some people not pro-choice? I really don't understand how they could do that, I guess.
Well, Marcy, there are various reasons, and I know Nora has some ideas about this. She is the guest, but it's what we've just talked about. Abortion is an issue in which people have opinions that go far beyond being pro-abortion rights or against abortion rights. But what about the reasons why somebody would want their congressman or a president, or a Supreme Court justice to make a decision on the future of a pregnancy rather than the woman and her doctor, Nora?
Well, I think a lot of this can get down to what people's core values and ideals are, who they surround themselves with, and what they actually believe their life should lead to on this earth and in this country. So I think there are people who very, very strongly believe, based on religious principles and ideals and their sense of morality, that they should ensure that all beings have a right to live. And so that is something that they surround themselves with and they think about, and they look at that issue as something that is fundamental to their core being about what is right and wrong. And we all know in life that we have different opinions about certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. And there are people who feel very, very strongly about that. Now, that means that we see this issue on a national stage because it matters to people. It's a political firestorm. I would argue that it shouldn't be, but we are in a situation now where we are talking about what people's rights are. Should these be constitutional amendments? So we have to understand that it's an issue that matters to people. And ideally, we can come to a place where we can respect people making their own decisions about their bodies.
Legal Director Nora Ahmed, we do have some folks waiting to talk with you, and let's go to Skip in Jefferson. He's been waiting longest. Skip, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thanks very much. Sir, I'd also like to compliment you on the very professional way that you direct this show.
Thank you.
I think you deserve a lot of credit for that. If I remember correctly, all three of Trump's appointees to the Supreme Court basically supported Roe v. Wade as established law. And I think we should look at the Kabuki Theater of those interviews, prospective Supreme Court justices when it comes to various things like that. Also, the South seems to have a brain drain. I've heard that mentioned a number of times. I'm the father of three daughters in their 20s. And given the way the state is going, I can't say that they should stay here. They can't even exercise their opinion of their own health care. It's pretty difficult thing. So thank you very much. I certainly appreciate this opportunity to offer my opinion.
Thank you, Skip, and thanks to Marcy, who called earlier. I'm glad she's a first-time voter at 19. But Nora, Skip gave us a lot to bite on. Your thoughts about his remarks?
I think that it really gets to the importance of voting and elections and ensuring that lawmakers know what their constituency actually believes. I think we live in a country where many people who have views feel disenfranchised and aren't going out to vote to work to change the system. And there are reasons for that. There is so much inequity that explains why that is. But we are very fortunate to operate in a democracy, and we have the ability to take a stand and explain what it is we believe in. And so we should.
877-217-5757. We're back with more Talk Louisiana after this 89-second timeout. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WRKF Baton Rouge and WWNO New Orleans. Robin Dow producing, and Nora Ahmed with us for a few more moments. She's the legal director for the ACLU of Louisiana, born and raised in Oregon, and she's been in Louisiana now for a few years, and she is a passionate advocate for rights of people and comes from a perspective that we would call, I think, left of center. And soon we will have a guest who has a different perspective in Gene Mills. And as mentioned, we ask you to be respectful to our guests. The number 877-217-5757. Related to reproductive issues, Louisiana's new law reclassifying pregnancy care pills as controlled dangerous substances took effect this week. It creates an outcry from the state's medical community. Doctors and pharmacists and hospital lawyers are trying to navigate new protocols. The drugs are targeted because they can be used to induce abortion. Nora, your thoughts?
Also can delay medical care, right? So now these drugs have to be kept in locked cabinets, and medical professionals are worried that it could increase the time it takes to get the patient the medicine that is necessary to actually serve them. So we keep talking about abortion pills, but mifepristone is used for various medical processes that are not strictly related to abortion. So we are attacking pills and care and depicting how doctors need to do their jobs when we don't actually know what the consequences of that are. So that's deeply problematic, that we're now talking about abortion as equivalent to a crime. We've moved very far from people having different points of view about whether abortion should be legal or not, and when and what the restrictions are, to now actually working to label people as criminals who are trying to provide medical care. And that is deeply concerning when we start to use the criminal legal system in that way.
Mitchell in New Orleans. Hello, Mitchell. You're on Talk Louisiana with Nora Ahmed. Hi.
Hi. I just have a question. I would like to know, it may be semantics, but we keep saying abortion rights when it's actually much more than abortion rights. It's women's health care. To me, it's like calling the Affordable Care Act Obamacare. It's, you know, and it's done with a bit of cynicism, because pro-choice is I want the right to deal with my own body, and there's no, you know, like the antithesis of pro-choice is not pro-abortion. It's pro-women's care.
All right. Mitchell, I think, makes some cogent points, and I certainly don't like it when people say pro-abortion. I don't have a problem with abortion rights, but Mitchell does. Pro-abortion infers that anybody who's in favor of a woman having a right to have an abortion is advocating for that woman to have an abortion, and Nora, as you know, that's not the case.
Right. And words matter, and words are being weaponized and being used in various ways to talk about this issue. But at its core, this is about reproductive freedom, and it's about health care.
On another one, Governor Landry signed an executive order this week asking the Board of Regents to make recommendations for improving freedom of expression policies on the state's college campuses. And the governor, of course, has noted that some speakers have not been permitted the right to speak. And in his view, it's mostly the conservatives who have been denied this right. But I'm all for freedom of speech, but I would imagine there would be some pushback for liberals. I remember when Louis Farrakhan came to Southern University, there was a firestorm. But isn't that what college campuses are all about? No matter what the political persuasion is, students and others should be exposed to thoughts of all kinds, Nora?
Absolutely. And I think that's how we can actually learn to talk across the aisle. We should be open to all thoughts. We should be listening to people, and we should be able internally to be able to assess, do we agree with that or not? And what arguments do we have that militate in favor of our position or theirs? But I 100% agree we need to be open, and we need to be able to listen to different points of view. We should not be talking about people who should not be allowed to appear for the strict reason that we don't like what they have to say. The fact that there are people who say things and believe things, that is important for us to know, because it allows us to understand as a country how we need to move forward. And it sometimes explains the surprise that people have at the results of elections. There are people who believe things, and we need to know what that is in order to understand one another.
I recall many, many years ago when David Duke was denied the opportunity to speak at a public facility. It was the ACLU who defended his civil rights, and at that time the Baton Rouge chapter was led by a Jewish professor from LSU, Herb Rothschild, but he defended David Duke even though he disagreed with him passionately. He thought that in a public setting that Duke or anybody else has the right to speak, and the people, of course, have the right to peacefully object, but I tell people that's what this show is about. We try to get different points of view. Otherwise, it would be an echo chamber, Nora.
That's right. We need to understand what people have to say, and we need to respect the fact that they are human beings that have a particular point of view. And if we believe that they are, quote, wrong, then we have the right to, as you say, talk about that in a peaceful manner and see if we can persuade someone or other individuals to change their mind. And people have been known to change their mind. And so it's a question about what do we bring to the table in order to have conversations about issues that clearly matter to many people. Now, those issues may be the product of a firestorm that is currently taking place in the nation, but we have to talk about it, and we have to explain why we think those views are so deeply problematic and wrong. But squelching people's right to speak leads to a lot of anger and frustration, and unfortunately sometimes violence. So allowing people freedom and the right to speak is what can get us closer to being at peace as a nation, from my point of view. And I think that is what our founders wanted when they enshrined the First Amendment into the Constitution.
Well, thank you, Nora. Always a pleasure, and we'll hopefully talk very soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. Bye.
We're joined now by Gene Mills, who's headed the Louisiana Family Forum since its inception, and his group is a force of might at the state capitol, grades lawmakers every year on how they vote on any number of issues, and we're going to cover some of the same ground with him that we did with Nora. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757, and please be cordial to Reverend Mills. And, starting in reverse order, where we finished with Nora Ahmed, Governor Landry signed an executive order this week to ask the Board of Regents to make recommendations for improving freedom of expression policies on the state's college campuses. Gene, this would mean that people on the far left and far right would have the right to speak at LSU and other campuses. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely. I think first of all, thanks for having me today, Jim, and good morning.
Good morning
to your listening audience. But yeah, I think that the First Amendment right that's enshrined in the Constitution is a fundamental right. I would hearken back and say, and our founders would go one step further, they believe that was founded upon fundamental human rights from the lawgiver, Moses himself. So yeah, I would support that.
But quite often, if we have somebody we disagree with, depending on where we are on the spectrum, we don't greet them as charitably as we do with people we do who do say the things we like them to say. Is that human nature, Gene?
I believe that human nature impacts every single one of us. And yes, every conversation, every family unit, the basic building block of society is the family. The family is sometimes one of the most diverse organizations on the face of the earth. But families don't even agree on everything.
Well, a listener has asked a question, and we'll follow up with this. And, of course, we'll get to the choice issue as well with Gene Mills, but wants to know what Reverend Mills' thoughts about are about protecting Mike the Tiger from the roaring denizens at Death Valley. We'll talk about that and more when we return after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans, 89.9, standing tall and proud on the lakefront at UNO. And LSU is, of course, no longer part of the University of New Orleans, but some of us remember when it was LSUNO many years ago. But WWNO has been around a little longer than WRKF, which will be celebrating its 45th year come January in Baton Rouge. And at one time was, on a percentage basis, based on ratings, the number one public radio station in America. Your number is 877-217-5757 for Talk Louisiana. Gene Mills is with us, and we do ask questions only. We've got, Robin says somebody hung up during the break, so we have one of our six lines open. If you'd like to grab it again, 877-217-5757, but we've got to be fast and furious with Gene Mills and our remaining time with him. But a listener, Hal in Monroe, asked about Governor Landry having harsh words for critics and his push to get LSU to revive its tradition of bringing Mike the Tiger to home football games. He says everybody needs to calm down. He wants Mike there to intimidate the opposition. Back in the day, when I was a student, Mike showed up, and those Mikes tended to live longer than the Mikes who have had these lavish habitats. But your thoughts about whether we need to protect this big cat, Gene Mills?
Well, look, I'm an LSU alumni. I remember the days when Mike the Tiger was there too. There were exciting moments. But look, in terms of conservation, I believe we have a responsibility to this earth to stewardship it. The animal kingdom is included in that. Having said that, they don't enjoy the same rights as humans do. So it's a decision. And it's one that Landry gets to weigh in on as well. His free speech rights are just as entitled as yours or mine.
That's true. And for those who have perhaps valid concerns about the tiger not liking the environment at Tiger Stadium, it's pretty tough on the players, too. All you have to do is look at these players who played in the 70s, and you'll know that they're having severe cognitive issues as a result of their play at LSU and in other places. And now we have 21 players on the LSU roster listed over 300 pounds. One guy, 334 at age 18. That's not a healthy thing either. So the players, I think, have a legitimate question about whether they're being abused in addition to Mike the Tiger. Audrey in Baton Rouge. Audrey, good morning. You're on with Reverend Gene Mills.
Hi, Reverend. So how does the Tiger in itself affect LSU's morale and everything? So if the Tiger were to happen to no longer be there, like they no longer house the Tiger on LSU's campus, how do you think that will affect fans and the team's morale?
Well, they built a lavish home for Mike, so I think he's going to be there a while, Audrey. But I think what she's getting at is that this is the Mike the Tiger cage is the most visited place in Baton Rouge, more so than the state capitol. Gene Mills. I can't imagine LSU without Mike the Tiger.
I can't either. I'm taking all of my kids and grandkids to see Mike. We love Mike. This question might be above my pay grade.
Sam in New Orleans. Sam, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. And good morning, Reverend.
Yes, sir.
My question is, since your group does have such an effect on Louisiana legislature, why are you trying to inject religion into politics?
You know, first of all, good morning to you, too. And my effort is not to inject religion, anybody's religion, into politics. It's to have a voice in a place where decisions are made. And I believe those who have a faith underpinning or motivation are not disqualified from going into that field and weighing in. And that's what we've attempted to do. I've never established a state religion or attempted to. I've never tried to argue for certain ways of worship or practice. And it's not my intention. So I don't understand the question, at least as it applies to what we've tried to do with the Family Forum. We deal with issues in public policy.
But you do deal with issues beyond social issues. And some, of course, would say that every issue has some social component, and I would agree. But the budget is perhaps the one that has the most sweeping of all. And Governor Landry is being an activist governor, and he is pushing for the biggest reworking of state taxes in a half century. Your thoughts about whether he's on the right track, Reverend Mills?
Well, we're still studying his policy, and he certainly has earned the right to swing for the fence, and he's attempted to do that. He believes that tax reform is necessary. We're going through this program line by line and item by item. I certainly do believe that it impacts families, and that level of impact is what we will generally speak upon. And the idea of doing away with an income tax has merit. And the question is, how do you replace those taxes? Many of the legislators ran, some of the freshmen, on the idea of doing away with the 0.4% sales tax. And I think is part of Landry's proposal. I think some of that's going to be negotiated as we go forward. I'd be more interested as we talk about reform and talking about right-sizing state government and tethering it to something like our state's population, the inflation rate, and our gross domestic product. Certain parameters that help guide and help the general population understand what size does a constitutional government need to be.
Okay. We talked with Nora Ahmed of the ACLU about this a few minutes ago, but a new law in our state reclassifying pregnancy care pills as controlled substances took effect Tuesday. Your position on this, I think, is that they should be prohibited, but why? Why, Reverend Mills?
I think all life begins at conception, or at the moment the sperm meets the egg. That's the process where cell multiplication begins. A light goes off, and that process is still occurring in your body. And I believe that is a fundamental understanding that was held throughout centuries in America and only abated in the early 70s and the late 60s as we went through a revolution. And I think that that's being sorted out by the state courts now that the federal court has spoken.
All right. Would you be in favor of other forms of contraception like condoms? Would that be okay?
I think one of the most primary and effective contraceptives that you can possibly practice is a concept of abstinence.
But look,
I believe people have a fundamental right to make certain decisions on legal matters, on the essentials. It's imperative that we understand there are standards. On the non-essentials, we have liberty.
All right, but you would say that people have the right to use condoms?
Absolutely. They do now. That's never been abated.
But would you fight to change that?
In 26 years of my work at the Capitol, I've never once tried to speak to that issue.
Okay, but we have prohibited condom distribution in schools.
It makes sense when you have a fundamental responsibility to protect children from early exposure to uncontextualized sexual activity.
But we don't want them to have abortions. So wouldn't condoms perhaps thwart the need for an abortion?
Or perhaps a better education and a more
serene environment. That too. I agree. You're right. But
happens to be state law, too.
But, yeah, okay. Georgia on Airline Highway. Georgia, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Reverend Mills.
Good morning. Good morning, Reverend. I wanted to talk about the abortion issue, and my questions are, how can you speak about fundamental rights when you have the opinion that denies women the fundamental right of decision-making over their own bodies?
All right. Thank you, Georgia. Reverend Mills?
You know, because I believe that life begins at conception, and I don't take away a person's right. Let's say, for instance, we extrapolated this idea that a woman has a fundamental right. And by the way, Melania Trump testified to that yesterday. Donald Trump said of Melania, speak your heart, say what you want to say on this issue. This is your belief system. I fundamentally disagree, and I believe that life begins the moment a sperm and egg comes together. If a woman has a fundamental right to terminate a child's life because she feels, for whatever reason, the reason that she feels it's inconvenient, we certainly don't extend same liberties to men to say of their children, I think it's inconvenient. I think I ought to be able to walk away. I think it would be absurd for us to have no sense of reproductive rules of law that guard and guide this fundamental institution. Now, having said that, do individuals still possess a personal right? Of course they do.
All right, well,
and there's a lot of liberties and a lot of groundwork in there.
Now, many would argue that a grown child is much different than a 2 or 3 week, 4 week, 5 week old fetus, but we could talk about that all night, and we do have a full board. We won't be able to get to all of you, but we will try to get to as many as we can. Rebecca in New Orleans. Hello, Rebecca. You're on with Reverend Mills.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I work in policy unrelated to reproductive justice and sexual health, but as someone who works in state-level policy on the national level, I think that our goal as policymakers should be to reduce harm, right? You can't effectively legislate every person's decision because there's just too many people. And when we do things like prohibit access to condoms for young people, when we do things like prohibit access to life-saving medicine, we're not actually reducing harm for most people. And it just feels really insidious that what's happening in Baton Rouge year after year doesn't really seem to be pragmatic policymaking that addresses the health and well-being of Louisianans.
Thank you, Rebecca. Reverend Mills?
First of all, I think that, and thank you, Rebecca, for that question or comment. I believe that the fundamental right lies with the parents and the decisions they have with regard to the sex education of that child, and not teachers or educators or educrats or whomever else in a governmental panel believes they ought to assume that responsibility. I believe that there are limited cases in which government can infringe upon the sacrosanct fundamental right of mom and dad.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes with Gene Mills. Go to some callers. Please be brief and kind. And then it's Brooke Thorington and Greg LaRose. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Reverend Gene Mills. So please be brief and respectful in your remarks in our remaining time with him. And then we'll go to Greg LaRose and Brooke Thorington about the week that was. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel in the Baton Rouge area.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, Jim, and thank you, Pastor. Pastor, I believe that women are people too. I'm wondering if you're familiar with the recent university study that said that after the Dobbs decision in the last 2.5 years, over 70,000 women and girls have been forced to have their rapist babies in red states.
All right. What about that reality, or is that overplayed in your judgment, Reverend Mills?
No, I'm not familiar with that study, nor would I be supportive of forced pregnancies being carried to term by rapists. We've fought human trafficking from the beginning. I believe we could do some more work at the border to prevent that, but we can deal with that at a later date.
All right. Would you be in favor, are you saying you're in favor of abortion in the case of rape?
No, I'm not. Now, there are emergency contraceptions that are available where a victim is able to access health care early in the pregnancy before, or early in the incident before pregnancy occurs, and I am supportive of that.
All right. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on. Hi, David.
Mr. Mills, in Georgia, the anti-abortion law allows a woman to have an abortion to save her life, but doctors are reluctant to do abortions under any circumstances because they can go to jail for 10 years. Two women recently bled out and died.
All right. What about doctors being reluctant to even touch this issue?
I'm sorry. So, Jim, I think your question is, I don't believe that Liz Merle has spoken clearly on this. There's never been an absence of the ability for the medical industry to intervene when you have a miscarriage or a mishap that requires medical intervention. I think it's the politicization of the whole issue that causes a misunderstanding. And perhaps we could put this in that category, or we could say it's just we've made it political. And some of the hospital association has chosen sides as well on that issue.
James in Metairie, your friend who usually calls when Reverend Mills is a guest. James, what is your question for Gene Mills?
Well, good morning, everybody. Recently, two high-profile legal cases involving crimes to children, one a Catholic priest.
All right, what's your question?
My question is this. Aren't the real threats to our children coming from many Catholic priests and evangelical pastors and not from LGBT-themed books in libraries?
All right. What about misconduct in the clergy, which, as we know, is substantial? Do we spend enough time addressing that?
I believe bad guys ought to be prosecuted, regardless of what label or nationality or racial background or sexual preference that they may participate in. So I am for bringing people to justice.
Well, Reverend Mills,
especially those who harm children.
Thank you for your thoughts today. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you, Reverend Gene.
God bless you.
God bless you. We're joined now by Greg LaRose and Brooke Thorington. Greg is the editor of the Louisiana Illuminator, and Brooke Thorington is the Capitol reporter for both WWNO and WRKF. And good morning to both of you. And let's since we were talking about the abortion issue with Reverend Mills and with Nora Ahmed before him, Louisiana's new law reclassifying pregnancy care pills took effect this week. And Greg, you have written prolifically, your staff has, in the Louisiana Illuminator. Those drugs are targeted because they can induce abortion. But as we heard from Nora Ahmed, the drugs do have other uses. But is this a sweeping change to the way we have health care availability in our state?
Yeah, according to the healthcare providers that we've talked to, they absolutely feel it's a big wrench in how they administer life-saving care. So the new laws were pushed with the emphasis that, you know, they are used for abortions, but misoprostol in particular also is used to treat post-delivery hemorrhaging, and doctors and nurses had quick access to it in what's called a hemorrhage cart that's right there in the room with the patient. Now, the new law forces the drugs to be stored in a secured cabinet outside the room. And here in New Orleans, at least, the doctors that have gone through drills ahead of the law taking effect have said that, you know, they're losing precious minutes to access the drug that, you know, they fear could have, you know, fatal consequences. And they're seeking more guidance from the state health department, though Attorney General Liz Merle has insisted that guidance and what she's provided is perfectly clear, and that, you know, this is more or less a creation from media, that news media, that she feels is you know, not being objective. And clearly we stand by our reporting.
Brooke, your thoughts on this issue?
I want to read a quote that nobody has really caught up on after the debate. "Now I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also. 85% of Republicans do. Exceptions, very important." That was former President Trump in his debate against VP Kamala Harris.
All right.
I believe that having these as controlled substance is jeopardizing the life of the mother. But here's what's so sad. If he's saying 85% of Republicans believe in exceptions, why won't the Louisiana legislature let a bill on rapes and rape exceptions and incest and the life of the mother get out of committee?
Monica in Baton Rouge, you're on with Greg and Brooke. Hello, Monica.
Good morning. Pro-choice caller here. I have a question regarding the morning after pill.
Yes.
I believe it's called the morning after. Like, how long do you have? Like, just is like the next day? Because here's the deal. A woman who has been raped is very traumatized and may not even come to terms with having been raped in that amount of time to even have a clear enough thought to say, hey, I need the morning after pill.
All right. Thank you, Monica. Brooke, your response to Monica.
Well, I'm not a medical professional, and neither is AG Liz Murrell. But if I remember correctly, I think you have like 3 days. But again, I would go to a doctor and ask them, I think you have 3 days. But like you said, when you've been raped, you're under extreme trauma, and you might not even come to terms with it, even be able to tell someone. So I think that's a cop-out.
Greg, is one of your stories in the Illuminator noted, in the months after the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade, there was a spike of women seeking sterilizations to prevent pregnancy. So women in certain parts of the country, including ours, they have many fewer options for an unwanted pregnancy.
Right. Specific in those abortion ban states, there have been more women, would seem, that are seeking sterilization processes. To the caller's point, there was a bill brought up this past session, basically it would have been called right to birth control. And it stalled its own author, Delisha Boyd of New Orleans, who's been at the forefront of pushing for the rape and incest exception based on some of her personal experiences. She pulled that when it became clear that right to life did not take a position, but it was pretty clear that the bill had a tough path forward.
Lawmakers will likely go into special session next month to review a sweeping tax proposal from Jeff Landry, which would be the biggest change in a half century at the state capitol in the way people are taxed in our state. Greg, the governor is an aggressive governor, and he believes he's on the right side of the gods. But this one, as you note, will have the devil in the details.
Yeah, exactly. And those details are just now kind of trickling out from the fourth floor. Lawmakers have held a couple meetings this week, one with the governor himself, another among members of the House Tax Writing Committee. And it's pretty clear, and this is no slight against the lawmakers, who are admittedly, they'll say it, we're not tax experts. We face a pretty steep learning curve. There's a lot to swallow. And, voters ultimately are going to have to educate themselves on what's being put forward here. It seems as though at the heart of it is the flat tax instead of the progressive, the more you make, the more you pay income tax. A flat tax would tax everyone at the same levels. And to make up for that revenue loss, one thing that really, the Landry administration isn't necessarily shouting out loud, they're going to need to preserve that 0.45% of the state sales tax to avoid the big hole in the budget that's looming next year.
Brooke, what about the upcoming special session?
This is kind of like commenting on a lawsuit when you haven't seen the lawsuit. And I know lawmakers received a binder. My personal fear is this is going to turn out to be like the close of the 23 regular session when there were last-minute amendments on the budget that Governor Edwards then had to move things around so LDH wouldn't go without money. I just worry that it's going to go down to the wire and things are going to get passed that shouldn't get passed.
Well, we do have to roll, but thanks, Brooke Thorington and Greg LaRose. Thanks to you for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. Until next week, stay safe and stay tuned.